your Bibles to the book of James, chapter number 1. The book of James, chapter number 1. And we're going to read a few verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I had about, it's hard as a pastor if you're between two messages, but this week I was between five. I had literally written down five different things I was thinking about and studied a little bit about this one and that one, and ended up coming back to the first one. But if you don't have anything, that's really stressful. And if you have a lot of things, that's really... But the Lord, He lets you know in His good time. James chapter 1, verse number 17. I do appreciate your prayers. This morning, we'll begin reading verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today, and for the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, as we come today, I need your help. I pray for it. I pray for strength. I pray, Lord, for liberty. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would just have His way in our hearts and lives today. I pray, Lord, that nothing would hinder. I pray that your will would be done. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. I pray that if there's one here that's lost, that, Lord, you'd reveal yourself unto them, that they would be saved. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as your children, that we would examine our lives in light of the Word of God. And Lord, that it would change us for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we do want to mention one more time the things that have already been spoken today as far as special prayer requests, people that are sick, those that have lost loved ones. Lord, please be with and comfort them as only you can. And we pray now that you'd speak to our hearts and help. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's begin and read in verse number 17 one more time just to get started today. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's talking about the subject of a gift here. And I think about it. Made me think about something that recently happened in our family. And for the past several months, Chloe, our youngest one, our seven-year-old, she has wanted a new Bible. And she had a children's Bible, you know, one of those that has the picture of Jesus on the front, and, you know, it's all colorful, got the interesting pictures on the inside. Well, she wanted a new Bible, a grown-up Bible. And this is probably 2 or 3 months ago, she started talking about it, and we said, well, we'll get you a new Bible when Brother John Green comes. You know, he was here a few Sundays ago, 3 Sundays ago maybe, and with Local Church Bible Publishers. So for
For all this time, she's been talking about, I'm going to get a new Bible. I'm going to get a new Bible. Well, he finally came, and she picked her out a new Bible. It's leather, King James Bible. Got a pink and a black cover on it. I mean, she's been proud of that Bible. And getting out her Bible and reading her Bible. And we got that for her as a gift. And last Wednesday night, she came through the house. We were getting ready to come to church, and she had on a pink and black dress, and she was carrying her Bible, and she stopped beside of me, and she said, "Look, Daddy, I match my Bible. Look, Daddy, I match my Bible." And I got to thinking about that just a few minutes, and I thought, I wonder how many of us match our Bible. Do we match our Bible? And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. Do you match your Bible? Now, you know I'm not talking about pink and black, and they make Bibles in all kinds of colors, you know. It's not just a black back book or a red Scofield Bible anymore. You see all kinds of Bibles, pink and blue and browns and two-tone, and boy, they make some pretty Bibles. But you know, this morning, that's not what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about, do you match your Bible? And we're going to look here in the book of James, and he's talking about every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And if there's ever a perfect gift that the Lord has given us, a good gift, a perfect gift, it would be the gift of His Word. He has given us His Word. His Word is good, and His Word is perfect. And so we think about the subject this morning. Do we match our Bible? Do you match your Bible? Do we as a church match up with the Bible? And I'm going to show you three things from this passage of Scripture in the book of James, chapter number 1, about matching our Bible. First of all, today, I want to say our conversion must match the Bible. Our conversion must match the Bible. Verse number 18, the Bible said, "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth." He's talking here about His Word. That we are begotten, we're begot, and that word begot in the Bible, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he lived so many years, it has to do with a birth. And it's talking here about a birth. We are begat with the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 18, begat. It's talking about being born. And when we think about being born, we think about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He told Nicodemus, He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Each and every one of us in our lives, if our conversion or our salvation would match the Bible, we must be, what the Bible talks about, we must be born again. We must have a spiritual birth in our lives. Verse number 21 talks about the saving of your souls. That's good Bible language there. Verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." There it is, talking about the word of God again, "which is able to save your souls." When we talk about salvation, when we talk about conversion, when we talk about being born again, we're talking about, we use that language sometimes. We might ask somebody, "Have you ever been saved? If you died, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven because you've been saved, because you've been born again?" These are Bible terms. But we need to make sure these Bible terms are not just terms, not just words, but that they have actually taken place in our hearts and in our lives. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so it's very important this morning that our salvation lines up with the Word of God. We ought to ask ourselves the question, have I been born again? Have I believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I been saved? Salvation is a gift of God, or it is the gift of God. I know we know the verses, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not something that we work for. It is not something that we earn along the way, or that we accomplish in our lives, or that we obtain through some work of the flesh. It is not being baptized. A lot of people, they equate salvation with baptism. You ask, have you been saved? Oh yes, I was baptized when I was 12 years old, 9 years old, 15 years old. That is not the same thing as being saved. You ask somebody, have you been saved? Oh yes, I joined the church when I... That is not the same as being saved. It is not baptism. It is not church membership. It is not law keeping. It is not killing somebody. You know, a lot of times you ask somebody, do you know for sure if you go to heaven when you die? Well, I've never killed anybody. You ever had anybody tell you that? You know, they're comparing themselves to the fellas down on death row, and I guess any of us could find somebody to compare ourselves to that really made us look pretty good. You know, I've never killed anybody. I've never robbed a store. I've never run for office for anything. You know, these bad... We compare ourselves. We find somebody, well, I'm not like that person, but God does not have a set of scales in heaven where He puts the bad and the good, and if the good outweighs the bad, then God lets us go to heaven when we die. That is not salvation. That is what religion tries to do, is be good enough, keep enough laws, give enough money in order to go to heaven. But salvation is the gift of God. It is not based upon our works. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, salvation is what God does for us when we come into a proper relationship with His dear Son. And you must have a proper relationship with His dear Son, with the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to go to heaven. That is what salvation is based upon. John 5:24 said, He that heareth my word and believeth upon Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It has to do with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we ever believed in Him? Have we ever confessed Him as our Lord and as our Savior? Our conversion must match. It must line up with the Word of God. You can dress religious, you can talk religious, you can act religious, you can wear a gold chain that weighs 50 pounds around your neck with a big old cross that hangs down to your knees, but that does not mean you're saved. You can score touchdowns and point toward the sky. You can do all kinds of things in this world that looks and sounds and smells religious, but religion is not same thing as salvation. And so we must come and ask ourselves the question this morning, have I been saved according to the Word of God? Look at verse number 21. The Bible talks there about receiving the engrafted Word. The engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Now, that word engrafted there, it's talking about, if you know anything about a tree. And you might hear somebody talk about grafting a tree. And I guess most commonly would be an apple tree, or maybe a grapevine of some kind. I don't know. But those that deal in husbandry and farming and those things, they know how to graft a tree. You can take one apple tree and graft it into another, and you get a mixture of those two. But the word engrafted there, it simply means this. It means to propagate by incision. If you're going to graft one kind of apple tree into another kind of apple tree, you've got to make an incision there, and you put one into another. And that's what God does with His Word for us. He engrafts His Word into our heart, into our soul, and He changes us. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is sharper than any medical instrument. It divides asunder between soul and spirit, the Bible says, and God puts His Word in us. God puts His Son in us when salvation comes into our heart and comes into our life. And so we can talk about in the Bible that we are in Him and He is in us. That's salvation. He is mine, I am His, according to the Word of God. And verse number 18, the Bible says there, of His own will begot He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His, what does it say there? Of His creatures. Our conversion will match the Bible. It will line up with the Word of God, and we will be like Him. We will be a kind of first fruits of His creatures, which means what comes out of that is going to match. It's not going to be a mismatch. Our conversion must match the Word of God. Second of all, this morning, our conduct must match the Bible. Now look at verse number 22, what the Bible says. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Our conduct must match the Bible. And what we have an illustration of, or a picture of here in verse 22, 23, and 24, the picture there is of a man looking in a mirror. And he looks in a mirror and he goes out and he forgets what manner of man he was. Now, the mirror here is the type of the Word of God. Now, we all know this from experience. Some people care what they look like, some people don't. Some people care if they match, and some people don't care if they match or not. Some people don't even know what it means to match. Some people think, they really think they match, but they really don't match. We've all experienced that. If you don't believe what I'm talking about, just go to town. Once upon a time in our nation, if you flew on an airplane, everybody that flew dressed up. Didn't matter what their occupation was, because once upon a time in our nation, to fly somewhere was a great privilege. And people treated it like that. It was something special. I'm going to fly. And people would wear a suit and a tie, a jacket and a tie, and ladies would wear dresses. And I mean, you go to the airport and people were all dressed up. It was important. But the last time I flew, back in May, I think it was, and past several times I've flown anywhere, you just might sit beside somebody that looks like they just rolled out of the bed, maybe slept in the airport, and they come to fly in their pajama bottoms. Now, I'm not kidding you. Some people don't care at all what they look like. They don't care if they match. They don't care what others think about them. But here in the Word of God, we are to examine ourselves according to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Now, verse 22, he said, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. There's a difference there. Being a doer versus being a hearer. Verse 23, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's like somebody looking in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, it is very easy for us to come to church and to act right. I mean, most everybody acts right in church. We're here. The Word of God is here. It's like a mirror. We look in it. Well, did you look before you came out this morning? Probably so. Do I look all right to go to church? You go to church, you act a certain way. Look here in verse number 19. The Bible said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. He's talking about actions here in verses 19 and verse number 20. I don't believe we've had any fist fights in the parking lot this morning. I don't believe anybody is broken out in wrath today at church. I don't think anybody pulled into the parking lot this morning and maybe got cut off by somebody else and cursed them out there in the parking lot. I don't believe any of our ladies have been offended. I don't believe anybody was telling filthy jokes, naughty things between Sunday school and preaching this morning. I think pretty much everybody's been acting pretty good. You say, well, of course we would. We're at church. You're going to act right. You're going to look right. You're going to dress, you know, you're going to try to put your best foot forward when you go to church. Most people do. But now if you go down the road and act a total, complete different way, you're just like this man in the Bible that looked in the mirror, and as soon as he went away, he forgot all about that. Sure, we can come to church and put on a good face, put on a good front, and act like we ought to and conduct ourselves like we ought to, but the real test is when we go away from here. When we go away from the Word of God, when we go to work on Monday morning, when we go to school, when we go to work, when we conduct our business throughout the week, then is the real test. What about our conduct? Does our conduct match the Word of God? Be slow to wrath. The Bible said, put away all filthiness. Say, what is that? That's not talking about getting dirty while you're working on the car. Do you ever hear any filthiness out here in the world? I mean, you ought not to be talking like that. You ought not to be thinking about that. That's what that's talking about. Superfluity. Superfluity is a word. It means to have an abundance of. Like water in the creek. You don't worry about it. It's always there. I'll tell you something else. There's a superabundance of, and that's naughtiness in this world. That God's people ought not to be taking part in such things. But if we go away from here and we're something else away from the house of God, then there's something not right about that. Something is not matching if we say that we're a child of God, but we don't live like a child of God. That's a mismatch. Things aren't matching up in our lives. Do you know what does more harm to the cause of Christ than anything else? It's a mismatch. It's going to church and saying and doing one thing and then going right out in the world the rest of the week and doing something totally, absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And the world looks at that and says, I thought they were a Christian. I thought they went to church so and so. I thought they taught Sunday school. I've heard all this down through the years. I thought they were a deacon. I thought he was supposed to be a preacher. Well, that harms the cause of Christ. And so the Bible tells us and teaches us that when we're a child of God, there's some things that we ought to put aside and let the Word of God come in and take the place that which is not bringing glory and honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people out here in the world, they might get the idea, well, you think you're a goody two-shoes. You're acting a goody two-shoes. Have you ever heard that? But you know, it's got to get deeper than that. If all we do is just act, then that's what it is. It's an act. But our conversion must match the Word of God. Our conduct must match the Word of God. And number three, and last of all this morning, our character must match the Bible. Not just our conduct, but our character. Verse number 25, the Bible said, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." Now that's the Bible that he's talking about. If you look at chapter 2, verse 12, he said over there, "So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." Now that's very interesting. A lot of people, they look at the Bible and they say, well, there's so many confines in the Bible, you know, with the law and don't do this and don't do that. But actually in the law, there is liberty. There's liberty. There's liberty to live, there's liberty to do, there's liberty. I don't feel like when I walk through this world that Mount Sinai is hanging over my head and about to drop on me and kill me. Or that lightning bolts are about to strike because there's liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sets you free, not binds you up. But he's talking about conduct here. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and notice what it says, continueth therein. He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Conduct is how you act. Character is who you are. I mean, really who you are down in your heart. Down in your life, here's an individual in verse number 25. This person in verse 25, he looks into the perfect law of liberty. He looks into the Word of God. The Bible said that he lives in it. He continueth therein. He's not just interested in being what he ought to be on Sunday, but he continues therein in his life, in his walk, in his work. He continues therein. Somebody asked the question one time, they said, what would you do if you knew you'd never get caught or nobody would ever know? What would you do in your life if you knew you'd never get caught and nobody would ever know? And how you answer that will tell you a whole lot about your character. What would you do? If you knew you'd never get caught, nobody would ever know. You say, oh, I'd like to run off to Vegas. I'd like to have a bunch of money, and I just, what stays in Vegas stays in. If that's your answer this morning, that says something about your character. What would you do? We're talking about character. We're talking about not how we appear to be on the outside, but what are we really down deep on the inside? Young children, one of the games that you can buy and play is there, even before they learn to read, is a matching game. Chloe's got some of them from when she was younger. And they'll have 100 cards. You lay them all down on the ground, turn them face down, and then you go through and it's a matching game and a memory game, and you turn a card over and then you turn one over here and you're trying to match them. Two monkeys, two bananas, two balls, two bicycles, whatever it is, and you go through, and I'll tell you, she can beat me every time. And my excuse is they just don't have as much to think about as I do. But I got to thinking about that. If we played the matching game in our lives and we turned over the card and here on one card is the Bible and here on another card is a mirror. We look in that mirror, would we match? Would we match up with what our Bible, with what the Bible says? If we go through the week and we're continually, well, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't go there, I shouldn't say that, I shouldn't, then something's not matching. God intends for it. No, we're not perfect. We're not holy or better than anybody else, but if we say we belong to Him, there ought to be some matching going on in our lives. I preached a message years and years ago, and it was out of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, and it was talking over there about the disciples, and the Bible said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John over there, they weren't anybody special. They didn't go to big seminary school. They weren't experts. They weren't Levites. They weren't Pharisees. They were just fishermen. They were unlearned and ignorant men. They just didn't know everything that the Pharisees and the religious crowd did. But when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the Bible said they marveled. They were amazed. Their mouth dropped open. What made the difference in those men? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When the world looks at us and when we're out here through the work week and we're at school, we're at work, we're on the job, we're at the place of business, we're buying something, selling something, whatever the case might be, somebody ought to take knowledge along the way that we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be followers. We ought to be disciples. We ought to be Christians. We ought to be followers. That's what it means. Christ means to be Christ-like. And so we ask the question this morning as we think about it, do you match in your salvation, in your life, in your character? If not, I want to show you in verse number 19 what the key is. The key to the whole problem, we might say. It's in verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The key's in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and... you ought to underline this word, receive. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, talking about the word of God, which is able to save your souls. Say, what do I do? You're going to have to receive the word of God. See, if we go through this life, well, I know better. I know the Bible says this, but this is what I believe. I know this is what I've heard preached, but I think it's more like this. There's no help in that. Until we are willing to come like a little child and just receive the Word of God. God, your Word is true. If I think I'm right, but your word says different, that means that I'm the one that's wrong. Until we get to the place in our hearts and in our lives where we can really just receive the word of God, believe the Bible and take it for what it is as the word of God, we'll not have any help in this life. Receive, believe what the word of God says. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask